Introducing the new Sherlock Holmes. I had a life full of experience after I first met Holmes. His stories from 100 years earlier had refreshed the present. It sounds odd, but I had gotten used to the idea by then that time is a massive space. I am now able to move within this massive space without any obstacle, and I enjoy it tremendously. It has not been easy, and this report is a history of all those adventures. For this reason, the reports will move in all directions of history as well, and it might be a surprise to you as a reader or listener that I paid no longer any attention to the technology involved in any time period. However, first things first, I will describe Holmes in all his peculiarities. The rooms where he lived never changed at all, surprisingly. Neither did his housekeeper, Mrs. Hudson, nor Inspector Lestrade. It seemed we were all part of the same continuum. To obtain some realistic image, I think you should look upon the house on Baker Street, for lack of a better idea, as a time capsule. In the house, Holmes had a comfortable living room with a wonderful fireplace, where we spent many an evening smoking, drinking, and talking. Above the fireplace was a painting of what seemed to be a waterfall. He could place his chair in whatever position suited him to the temperature in the room. The wooden floorboards were rather worn out, yet, as a result, quite colorful. Holmes had a wide range of clothing, which had little to do with vanity. His clothing apparatus resembled more of a theatrical collection of what he called his suitable armor, a suit for each occasion. His comfort dress consisted of a blue type of soft jeans, a white cotton shirt, and a red loosely house jacket. In case of visitors, Holmes used to say. Sherlock loved to play music, but could not actually read notes, so his attacks on ancient Chinese flute called the shen and some other strange instrument remained part of his ever-loving final mystery, as he called it. It frequently seemed to torture my hearing, but I knew it was Sherlock's expression of being absolutely bored with the world of humans. He refused to learn reading musical note, as he explains. This will ruin my pleasure to understand the beauty of musical instrument from their natural development, and it would imprison the creative possibilities of sound and perception development. And indeed, every now and again, it developed into a remarkable experience, as described in the case of the cross-eyed voices, and sometimes it even produced some interesting musical pieces. Holmes was a cynical observer in human relations, certainly where partner relations were concerned. As much as he applauded friendships on a strictly singular basis, he loathed partnerships resulting from mental compensational needs, he would express. Many times people will pretend these relationships are based on care, while they are actually a prison yard of fear. I never have been able to completely understand what he meant by this, though partly we explored it in the case of the sworn bachelor. Holmes had, of course, a massive capacity for deduction. He did not consider this form of intelligence, even though it amazed people many times, which in turn gave Holmes a wary feeling. He disliked it when people made some of his capacities into exceptionalities. "It's all just a matter of patience," he would remark. "All ability in the end is just a matter of patience." At such moments, I remembered the final mystery, and I could hear him play over and over again. The following collection are the advanced peculiar adventures of Sherlock Holmes. They are not part of a normal deductive source, that is to say, normal in the sense of our common space-time perception. In fact, they are stories which tickle the question, our common perception, in a way that only Sherlock Holmes could deduct. The stories will leave you baffled and hopefully lead to the beginning of a wisdom which is timeless.